clicking record, and then 3, 2, 1.
That wasn't good. Really a game. Right. 3, 2, 1. That was pretty good. Okay.
Some bad news, I feel like. Personally, I think it's bad.
Horrible news to me and my family, I think. Although I think my dad has a different perspective on it. There's a bar in Hastings, Michigan. It's called the Old Town Tavern. It was called
Tavern, unfortunately.
Classic name. Frequently abbreviated to OTT.
Classic. Oh my gosh.
Classic OTT. Hey, let's go down to OTT. Hey, you going to OTT later?
Hey, I've got a gig at OTT tonight.
Yeah, I've got... Hey, Sam has a gig at OTT tonight. We need to go. OTT was just recently sold to new owners, and they now have changed the name to Full Moon Saloon. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the name could be worse.
I just
think it kind of rolls off the tongue, but it's just like compared to, like, I like the rhyme kind of.
I don't think anyone's ever going to call it Full Moon Saloon.
Oh,
I think people will just
OTT
call it
OTT forever,
well,
I think.
Well, so, as I mentioned previously, my dad said that it has changed names several times throughout his lifetime.
Oh, really?
Even. Yes. So it used to be called, like, he told me the names and I can't remember. It's had several names, and so this was not as, like, groundbreaking, earth-shattering. He said, happens.
Wow.
This bar has been in a rotation forever.
That is crazy to me. I feel like a historic institution just died. That's
mm-hmm.
how I feel.
I think that people won't even call it Full Moon Saloon. I think they'll just call it, like, Full Moon.
True.
I also think,
but I don't think that's
saloon
a bad
is
thing.
Corny.
It is little.
Saloon is
no double doors. Need the double doors.
Swinging.
Swinging double doors. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sad about it.
I think we're all sad. I think my brothers especially.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a classic go down. It was always there for you.
It was. And
also,
I think
the branding really good. I thought for what, like the sign out front. I don't know. I just love the font. It's just like you knew what it was when you're going in.
Yeah,
Old Town Tavern.
Yeah, it's exactly
says what
it
was.
It was very honest.
No frills.
Yeah, very honest bar. I think this is a little more frilly.
Yeah, for real.
Painted the walls. It's like blue.
That's messed up.
It's weird. All the sports memorabilia is gone.
That's also crazy.
They have a corny new sign. It's very bad. The font is bad. It's like over a full moon, like JPEG that they got from stock images.
Ugh.
With like a cringe font that's way too small, plus like cowboy or what is that called, like a longhorn skull.
Yeah,
it's not great.
Yeah, do you think they'll still have live music?
They well, on the new sign that they've created, it says live music.
Okay, good to know.
Which I think that my dad and Ellie Youngs are the only people that are keeping that phrase
for real
alive.
Ellie Youngs and her band, which is me.
Yes. Well, and
my good friend Mackenzie.
Yeah.
Well, good to know.
Yeah.
I guess. Hopefully it's all right. But Old Town Tavern, you're with us forever. And
yeah.
Always right here for the audio listeners only, pointing to my heart right now.
This is the first episode.
Yeah.
This is our new podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know how good this audio is going to sound.
We'll edit it. And tell us. You comment down below. Is this good audio? Is this bad audio?
Will it have comments?
Let us know, because if you're listening to this, it's probably because you're a friend.
We'll get mics,
yeah.
Probably, for our next recording. Because I think over Zoom, we'll have to do some Zoom. We're in person now for
mm-hmm.
the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But we will have to do some in-person.
Yeah.
Definitely. Over some Zoom. We'll get mics.
Yeah.
So that I don't think I'm like a laptop microphone.
I was thinking like AirPods or something, or headphones.
I have headphones that have a mic.
Yeah, I feel like that would perform.
Probably.
Properly.
What's the name of our podcast?
I like Static Line.
Static Line.
I
think that's my favorite.
Claudia came up with that. I was a big fan.
Yeah.
I wanted to start a podcast, kind of, just for fun.
Uh-huh.
Not because I'm really expecting anything.
We need another male podcaster out there. We need another white guy who wanted to give his opinions.
Straight white guy.
We needed another one of those.
Yeah, there's a lack of those out in the podcast space.
So we're filling that gap.
Yeah, filling a void in the.
We need voices. We need voices.
Exactly.
We need these voices.
But yeah, just for fun, I feel like some of the podcasts I listen to, they're just like goofy and they don't really have a topic. One of my favorite podcasts is like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Claudia and I's friendship over the years kind of mimics that.
I think we've had enough conversation where we're like, we should just record this.
Yeah, right? And then listening to this other podcast, it seems like there is kind of a space for that, too.
What?
I don't even know.
Okay.
I'm thinking, like, there's a space in the podcast world for just like goofiness, and it doesn't have to all be curated topics, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Are you tracking?
I'm tracking what you're saying. I think I do like a podcast that has a curated topic.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoy it.
But I'm just thinking our classic conversations could very well serve as a podcast if people would like that.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not looking for this to go big or anything.
Yeah.
It's mainly just
for
me
our friends.
And our friends and just, yeah.
I'll make my mom listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on what we talk about. If I say any F words, I don't know if my mom listens to it.
Yeah, for real.
We're currently
yeah.
at Richie's.
Richie's, yeah.
That's the background noise.
Background noise. Maybe we'll edit it out. You'll see. In post-production, I guess.
Well, I think it'd be nice if you can hear, like, the forks and the plates.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm a fan of that.
I think it adds to the atmosphere.
All right, we'll leave it in. But yeah, I've got a lot to cover. We're both, like Claudia said, back for the holidays right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back from Philadelphia, and Claudia is back from Ann Arbor.
Yep.
Back home, classic
back
Barry
to
County.
Barry County.
Yeah, but you just went on a pretty big trip.
I did,
right?
Which we have not yet really discussed.
I guess it wasn't super recent, but...
No, it was in October.
Okay, so...
I left on, like, September 29th. I got back October 16th,
so
I want to
like
say.
So, like, 3 weeks? 2 weeks.
Two and a half weeks.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice. And where did you go?
I went to Vienna and Amsterdam and then Rome in that order, which was lovely. I went with my Uncle Mark, which is my dad's...
I have an Uncle Mark, too.
...is my dad's brother who moved to California in the 80s. If that tells you anything about him, make some inferences on that one. Moved to San Diego in the 80s, moved to California, has a large repertoire of single men and that he knows all over the world. You can make your inferences.
Nice.
And he's single, unmarried, and so he likes to take me and my siblings on trips, which is awesome.
That is super cool.
Very, very cool. I'm very fortunate to have gone. It was kind of like a graduation present, but it just got weirdly timed. Joey and Julia both got one, but when I graduated high school, it was. I then went to college. I don't think he had done it yet. And then it was COVID, so I couldn't really do it.
Yep.
And so I went to...
So Vienna?
Vienna, yes.
Yep.
Which was awesome. Vienna was really cool. Vienna was cold. Vienna was rainy. I got to see The Kiss by Gustav Klimt, which was awesome. It was really, really cool. It was huge. It was massive. That was definitely a highlight.
He's really good.
He's one of the best
Kiss
ever
is
doing.
Great.
One of the best
I
ever
really like, oh, I can't remember what it's called. It's the one with the big yellow dress. Maybe it's just Lady in Dress.
Probably.
I have a...
Is it like her face and she's kind of like...
Maybe, but I feel like the face isn't the main part of it. I feel like the dress is the...
Is that not The Kiss?
Maybe it is The Kiss.
That's the
one. Well, is there a kiss? This one's just one
person.
It's
more he's like holding her face like this, like... Like it's kind of like a this. It's like this.
Yeah. No. For the audio listeners, only Claudia is mimicking Gustav Klimt's Kiss face.
I'm putting my hands on my face in the way he's like holding her face. It's less like they're kissing on the lips. It's like he is holding her face.
Yes. No. I know what you're talking about.
And
I
that's
think
not
the
one
I'm
you're...
thinking of. Is different.
Okay.
I have it saved in my phone. I'll try to pull it up for the audio listeners only. I'm scrolling through my phone right now.
I went to Vienna. It was very historic. It was very cool to see all of the classic buildings. Lots of historic architecture. The architecture was really, really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very old. More people just showed up to the diner.
Lady with Fan is what I'm thinking of.
Okay, that one. That's not... I didn't know that one. I don't think I saw that one.
I really like that one. Look it up.
It's a lady with a fan for
lady,
our
and then,
for audience.
So I guess the dress, what I was saying before, is not a big thing. But the background. She's
the background
like
is really cool.
In front of a wallpaper or something filled with flowers and peacocks.
It's beautiful.
And other great things.
I love it. It is. There were so many of them where it's like his use of. And now I sound pretentious. It's like nobody did it like him. He's like the best to ever do it, in my opinion.
Super cool.
He was a really awesome painter. Vienna was very historic. Vienna was awesome. And then I went to Amsterdam, which was a personal favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I also got very lucky for the weather at the time. It was like 62 and sunny, which not it was. It'd be like 50 in the mornings and then like creep up to 62 in like the late afternoon. So by the end of the day, you could like shed some layers a little bit. It was really, really, for October, it's like,
right.
Europe was pretty crazy.
That sounds great.
And it was sunny. It was sunny the whole time. It was beautiful. I went on a boat ride, which was awesome.
Like on a canal? Like
yeah,
a canal?
I like that's had sweet. A couple beers and went on a...
Nice.
It was so
as
awesome.
You should.
And then I went on this canal ride, and our canal guide was kind of a weird guy, where he just kept talking about how weed is bad for you. And he used to...
Doesn't seem very Amsterdam-esque.
He used to do some hard stuff. And now he used to do weed too, and he doesn't do any drugs now. But he says his son... Just and then he starts talking about his son. He was like, "Weed is bad," and my son just stopped smoking weed. And but he told
there you go.
It was weird. It was really weird. But then he told us something that I didn't realize when you're in Amsterdam, is that all the cities are like in these kind of like square blocks, right?
Right.
And there's no
with water canals.
Yeah, but there's no alleys.
Because
so,
of the water canals.
Well, but even like on a block where it's like just land, there's no alleys in between the houses. So it's like if this is a block, you can't like see into the center. But
oh, interesting.
Like there's all these apartment buildings, and then there's like a gap in the middle. They don't like connect. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So there's these. He called it the hidden city, which I didn't know about. That it's all like garden. People have like crazy, crazy, crazy gardens in there, and you would never know because you can't see into any of them because there's no alleys.
That's super cool.
Because you get taxed on like, I think width of. So you're trying to maximize space is what they told us at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can. So then you like look on Google Maps. You're like, oh my god, there is.
Were you able to go into any of those places, or are they all private?
They're all private. Yeah.
I didn't think they had that in Europe.
They do. They.
What? I'm joking.
Any European listeners out there, we love you. Love our European fans.
Also, yeah, love that. The Netherlands is my ancestral...
Is it really?
...homeland.
Do you want to go ever?
Yeah, I'd love to.
I'll take a little more coffee, yeah. Thank you.
I would like to go. My great-grandparents immigrated from Groningen.
Where's that at?
Which is north of Amsterdam.
That's not that many generations
I know.
Removed.
Yeah, so...
Your great-grandparents?
Yeah.
Wow.
They've since passed, but growing up, we'd go to their house, and...
Did they have crazy accents?
I don't know. I was, like, pretty young, and I maybe wasn't picking up on it. Say that one more time.
How are you?
All right, clip it, cancel her. But, yeah, I'd love to go to Groningen and Amsterdam, but I'm sure there's still some family over there.
Yeah.
I would assume.
I went to a really cool jazz cafe there, but it was very popular. So if you get there at 9, sorry, you get in. There's a crazy line.
Too late to get there?
Yeah.
Too early?
Too late
really
to get there. Too late to get there. It was like the doors opened, I think, at 7, and there'd be a line, like, at 7 o'clock. And then the line would
sounds like Rick's American Cafe to me.
Hey. We've all
shout
been
out Ann Arbor listeners.
Shout out to our University of Michigan undergraduate students who just recently turned 21.
Yes.
I know
exactly.
That's where you're going tonight.
I know where you'll be.
Yeah, tonight or tomorrow or sometime.
Side tangent, I only went there like 3 times in school.
Really?
I think so. Maybe 4.
I went there a lot of times.
That's all right.
There was a lot of times it would just be my roommate and I. We're not naming names.
Yeah. If they're a listener and they want to be named,
Contact us.
We'll
put our email.
Yes.
Our
or you probably, if you're listening, you probably just have our personal contact.
Just text
us. Just text us. Or comment down below.
So me and him would go just like by ourselves. We'd go at like 8 o'clock. Because of course the line is so notorious for being just really bad and long. And I really, one thing about me, I hate the cold. I cannot I would so much rather it be hot than it be cold. I get really miserable in the cold.
Really?
Just like...
I'm the opposite way.
Oh, no. I get so... Like my... I think it's because I have bad circulation. So my feet will go completely numb while I stand in the cold.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It's not, and it hurts, and I just get really, like, it's like painful. It's like a painful experience to be cold for me for extended periods of time.
This is maybe kind of dumb, but I feel like I, like, going to school and college and stuff with a lot of people who are from out of state, or like, now that I live in a new city that's not as north as where I grew up in Michigan.
True, yeah.
So, what's the word?
More southern.
It's on a lower latitude.
Okay.
Than Michigan. I feel like I take pride in the fact sometimes that I like, can withstand the cold better than other people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just my Michigan blood, my northern blood come through. And, yeah, I don't know. That's maybe a little crazy.
I've never been like that. I've always...
That's fair. It's probably for the best. Cold.
So I think I had one really miserable experience where I got... really mad at well not mad but I oh we'll bleep that
well got it
we'll
or if you comment you can
give me a text
that's
and,
fine
and so we stood out line and I just remember just being like I want to go home let me go home please
for the audio listeners only was Claudia's roommate
and I was just like shivering and whole and just I was like please can I just leave and he was like no we're seniors like stay just come on we're almost there. I think we were in line for like an hour and a half and I just had a horrible miserable time and so after that I think we went earlier. We went at like 8 when the doors would open, which I think is the move. Going early in
nice.
This year, going early, waiting till it gets busy in this
year. I like
year.
It. I like that a lot.
Leaving halfway through the busy time, home by 11.
In. So in.
Home by 11. Going early, staying until it gets busy, till 11 o'clock. Maybe going at 8, stay for 2 hours.
Perfect. Leaving at peak time, keep everyone guessing what your next move is.
Really?
In.
In. Very in.
Back to your European trip, though.
So then I went to Rome.
Yes.
I saw it in Amsterdam. What's the big one? It's the big
canal.
Rembrandt, he painted it.
Oh, yes.
The Night Watch.
Oh,
the
nice.
Night Watch.
Nice.
But there, it was very cool to see in person for sure. Another
Isn't there an entire Rembrandt museum there, or am I thinking of someone else?
That could be true, but his best stuff is not...
I feel like I'm missing...
I think his best stuff is not in that museum. They probably got a bunch of his, like, drawings and stuff. I don't know.
If you're a listener, fact-check me on what museum is in Amsterdam.
It's like the Rijksmuseum.
Yes, but I feel like...
Rijksmuseum?
That's what I'm thinking of.
The Rijksmuseum, yeah. I think it's how you say it. I was never sure.
And did you go there?
I did, yeah.
Awesome.
It was really cool.
That's where you saw the Night Watch?
That's where I saw the Night Watch. But it's under huge amounts of restoration right now. So obviously you wouldn't be able to get very close to it anyway, but there's a massive like glass wall that's maybe like 30 to 50 feet in front of the actual painting itself. And so you can't even get in the same room with it, basically. And then they've got all this like scaffolding around it because of the restoration that they're doing on it. And it's like apparently a huge team of people. There's like 8 people working on it, which is more than the average amount of restorationers ever on an art piece at one time. So we did not have a tour guide, but I got really close to a tour guide.
As you should.
And was listening to what she was saying, and she said that they're doing a lot of retouching, and I think it just hadn't been restored for maybe like 20 to 30 years, and so they said it's time to work on it a little bit again. And because there are so many people working on it, every decision takes a long time, so this has been like 5 years already in the making, and it's still ongoing. But, of course, that's their most famous painting, so they can't like not...
Display it.
They
can't take it out. Yeah.
So they've made a whole contraption in the museum for it to like lay down flat. It's like connected to all the scaffolding machinery stuff so that it can like and then get like moved down.
Yep.
Like that noise. That was like Radiolab. And so then they move it down, but I didn't see them do that. But yeah,
that's cool.
I got to see it. I got to see a couple. The Milkmaid Vermeer.
Nice. Johannes.
Not Girl with the Pearly Ring. I didn't get to see her.
That's a bummer.
She's not there. But it was another two more Animal Crossing paintings.
What?
In Animal Crossing, so you can collect art?
No, I didn't know that.
In Animal Crossing, so you have your museum, right? And of course, there's the bug catching and the
sure.
And the fishing.
Yep.
There's also fossils you can dig up in Animal Crossings.
Okay.
So you have like paleontology wing. You also can have an... I'm not... This is real.
No, I believe you.
And there's a very beautiful, beautiful museum. And
why go to Amsterdam? You got Animal Crossings at home.
Well, so yes, I'm not even joking. There's an art wing, and once a week, an art dealer will come to your island, and he'll sell you some paintings. And you have to decide whether they're fake or not. Of course, there's an added element. You have to like inspect it. Photoshop it a little bit, so it'll be like Mona Lisa has eyebrows or something, or like it's turned, or the milkmaid has like a different color dress on. But sometimes it's the real one, and sometimes it's a fake one. And if you know what the real painting looks like, it's pretty obvious. But if you don't know, some of them are like less common. You might not know what the fake one.
I like that. That's
looks like. So then you have to like over time slowly develop your art museum, and they have a certain amount of paintings. And so there's one guy on social media, and now I kind of want to do this. So they have all different pieces of art from all different cultures, mm-hmm. all different time periods, because it's, you know, it's like anachronistic. Where it's like all exists in one space and one, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And.
No.
Anachronistic means like if you're, let's say it's a movie like set in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
and then they're like, somebody has like an iPhone or something. Say something that no one would
yep.
say in the 50s. That's like an anachronism. I just learned the meaning of this word, so now.
Anachronism?
I'm not gonna say it anymore. So they all exist in one room, basically, and of course none of the regular rules apply. And so now I'm trying to see how many of them I have seen. There was one guy who went to all the, he had to like go to like 13 different countries
to see all the art
yes.
from his Animal Crossing museum.
Yes, everyone that is featured in Animal Crossings.
It's getting people out there.
I think it's a fun goal.
That's pretty cool.
Like 13. The Night Watch. I've seen Las Meninas. I've seen. Vincent van Gogh I saw that in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Vincent van Gogh Museum, which is...
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah?
It was... I got to see that teal one with the white flowers. That's, I think, better than Starry Night.
Isn't that in Detroit?
No. It was there. I saw
I'm
it.
I'm thinking of someone else.
Maybe.
There is one in the Detroit Institute of Arts that sounds similar to
probably.
Describing.
It's like that teal one with the white branches, and it's kind
of... Yes, yeah, I'm thinking of something
It's
else.
Beautiful.
But did you go to the Detroit Institute of Arts while they had their Van Gogh exhibit?
I didn't ever
it's
do
cool.
that. Was
oh,
it cool?
I liked it, yeah.
Okay. Is that the one where they just did the projector?
No, it's like actual pieces
okay.
that are... I don't know if it's a permanent collection that was donated to the DIA, or if it's a traveling collection, but
okay.
or gallery, but it's super cool. It
yeah.
might still be there. I don't know.
That was one thing I did in Amsterdam.
Awesome.
It's pretty cool.
When you said Amsterdam was your favorite?
Yeah, Amsterdam was for sure my favorite. I would say Rome was definitely my least favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because I think the Italians make much less of an effort to care about speaking English.
Clip it. Clip it, Italian listeners.
chat, clip that. They didn't really care. And it's for sure a culture thing where they don't like tourists. But you'd think that because so many tourists go to Rome, that they would be forced to practice English more. And I think that's like simply not the case. Like they just don't care about learning English.
Nice.
So it was a lot harder to get around, a lot harder to communicate with people.
If you're listening, Claudia thinks you should only speak English. And that is the
their train system.
Language.
Their train system. Oh, I didn't tell you about this part of it.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the day that I went to Pompeii,
yep.
which is like an hour train ride if you take the bullet train, and I think like 4 hours if you take the train that has a lot of stops.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take a high-speed rail, it's more expensive, or you can take one that has a lot of stops. We get up that morning. We have to get up really, really early. Is that yours or was that in there?
I don't know.
That doesn't look like yours. I'm going to be real.
Maybe. Yeah, for the audio listeners only.
There was
Claudia just pointed out a piece of hair in my food. Very cool.
It's fine.
And we're moving past it.
And so we get up really early to only find out that our train is delayed. We have booked a tour for 12 o'clock
mm-hmm.
in Pompeii. It's like an hour train ride.
Yep.
We then have the train ride isn't to Pompeii, which is a city south of Naples. The train ride is to Naples. Sure. So it's another like 30 to 45 minutes from Naples. We have to take a cab. Our train is indefinitely delayed, and it's about 10 o'clock. So we're pushing it. We have to switch trains very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this costs us any money. We have to switch trains. We get to Naples. We're like, if we make everything on time, we will get there at exactly 12:05. We are checking our watches. I'm checking my watch.
Right.
And we're tweaking a little bit about it. And we get there and we take a cab. We find a cab and we were like Naples and or not Naples. We were like Pompeii. And he was like, yeah, Pompeii City. And then we're Google translating back and forth because he doesn't hardly speak any English at all. Mm-hmm. He's getting the word Pompeii, but there's a couple different spots you can get dropped off at, basically, like, for different parts of the park.
Because
it's almost like a big national park.
Pisa.
Yes.
Clip it. Don't clip me.
And so it's like a big, and there's a couple entrances. There's a bunch of different things, different places you can go in. It's a mat. It's so
Pompeii. I'm forget my Pisa thing I just said.
It's a
I was thinking
I thought you were talking about
pizza. No.
And so it's so much more massive than I thought it was. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of different places you can get dropped off, and we're trying to figure out where we want to get dropped off. And we don't really even know where our tour is gonna start from. It's not very clear.
Yeah.
And he drops us off at a spot we're not sure is the right place. It's like 12:03. And then he cannot figure out his... He must have gotten, like, an updated payment system. He cannot figure... He keeps, like, adding money to it, so then it's, like, $7,000. And he's, like... He just keeps adding to try... He keeps trying to change the number, but instead of changing the number, he keeps adding that new number. New digits onto it. It was so fun. It was, like, funny in hindsight. It was not funny at the time. So then he's, like... My Uncle Mark is like, I'll figure this out. See if you can go find the tour guide and tell him to wait for me. See if they'll wait a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find anyone. I don't even really know what the name of the tour. There's like, of course, all tour groups from different countries. There's like, in different languages. There's like French and there's like... and there's all these different languages. I'm just trying to even find someone who speaks English at this point.
Right.
I can't find anyone who even speaks English. It's like 12:15 at this point. Can't find anything. We walk around for another 5 minutes. We start walking around the park. Can't find anything. It's like 12:25 now. We're like, there's no way they waited for us. Our tour group is gone.
Mm-hmm.
We just did all that for nothing.
Yeah.
And our train is back. What are we going to do all day? So then we talk to this guy, and he says, we're like, this is the name of our tour group, and he's like, let me walk you there. The nicest guy ever, guardian angel, Italian man,
mm-hmm.
working in a visitor's booth, walks us to our tour group. He's like, this is where they are. And so we were like, okay. It was like in a completely different spot that we got dropped off at.
Right.
And we talked to the guy, and we were like, we had a 12 o'clock tour, we're so sorry we missed it, our train was delayed, couldn't find where it is. And they said, well, we actually have two spots open at 1 o'clock, and we'll move you to the 1 o'clock spot.
Nice.
Would you like to do that? And we were like, oh my God, yes. So we had an Aperol Spritz, we calmed down with an Aperol Spritz
classic.
At like this really overpriced restaurant that was really close.
Yeah.
Made it to the tour. This is not the end of the story. So we go inside. We go to Pompeii. Pompeii was beautiful. It was like the one place I wanted to go in Europe. And
right.
it was better than I could have imagined. It was so cool. It's a place I've always wanted to go. Got to see the body cast. That was like something I've always wanted to see. Rad.
Super cool.
No bones.
That is cool.
No bones.
That maybe sounded sarcastic, but it wasn't.
But they're like, you can see, it's like a guy, and he's in almost like a fetal praying position, which is like, that's like the exact moment that they died, which
right.
I think is so poignant and beautiful, and
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's one guy who's laying in the fetal position.
Of course.
I just think it's amazing. And it's so old. There's like fresco.
Yeah.
That were painted fresh, because that's what a fresco is that it had to happen. It's like the alabaster,
right.
Whatever. And so we have a beautiful time at Pompeii. We then take a really, really, really crowded $6 train back to Naples, which was actually fine. It was an express train, we didn't even know, but it was really, really crowded. There was not even really anywhere to sit, hardly. It was like a metro thing. And we were pushed all up against each other. So we get to Naples, and we're like, okay, let's just sit at a restaurant. We have like 2 hours before our train leaves this
mm-hmm.
evening. Let's just sit and eat at this table. And so we're sitting at this restaurant, we eat the wet pizza, because the pizza there is like...
What?
Their pizza's so thin. that it becomes like you lift it up and it like it's like just nothing. There's nothing. It just
falls.
I don't
know how to do it over there.
It just falls and it is like sloppy and
they don't know how to make a good
pizza. It always tastes really good, but it is like not the texture I want it to be. It is like paper thin.
Give me Three Brothers any day.
Hungry Howie's, come on.
They don't have that over there.
No, they do not.
The old country.
And so we eat at this restaurant, we're just talking, hanging out, having fun. And we end up talking, so he's looking, Michael Mark is looking at the phone with as the train times on it. And he's like, our train is delayed by like 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes, it says. So then, I think I'm good for now, thank you. So then it creeps up on the time that we're that it's time to go. And we're like, we have like probably a couple minutes. So we're talking to this really nice old couple, time kind of gets away from us, and we're like, we still have about like 15 minutes before this train is scheduled to leave.
Right.
Because based on the delay time.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the train station, and they say, it is now like 9 or 10 o'clock,
yeah.
And they say, this train has left.
What?
This train was actually on time, and we were wrong, and your phone was wrong, and the train left. It's like 10 o'clock. It was like a 9:30 train. It's like 10 o'clock now. They were like, there's one more train that you have to, so we had to pay like 80 bucks for this last train. I remember feeling so bad because my Uncle Mark was paying for me.
Right.
So I don't know. There's nothing we could do about it. While we are like in this crisis mode of, so we're trying to the person who operates the ticket booth has gone home for the night. So we have to use the digital ticketing. Well, I think we can change it to English.
Okay.
It's like not working. As this is happening, just the most horrendous alarm of all time happens. And I took a video of it, and I don't think I'll be able to play it.
We can splice it in.
I'll clip that in.
We'll clip it
in. I'll show it to you after we're done recording. Just the worst alarm that is piercing my eardrums. And while we're like in the most crisis, like trying to get this train, I was like on the verge of tears. It was so bad. It was so horrible.
Sounds awesome.
We get the ticket sorted. We have like a silent train ride home. We go to bed. I sleep until like 1 o'clock the next day.
Because
I was so, I didn't even care. I was trying not to sleep in because obviously it's like a beautiful trip.
Yeah, right,
but I was like, I was so exhausting. It was so bad. We got home at like, because then we have to take like another 20-minute train ride from the central station to back to our apartment, which is more near the Vatican.
Yeah.
So we get home at probably like 11 or 12 o'clock. I don't even remember. It was really late, 12 o'clock when we got back at least. And yeah, it was really, that was the worst time we had. And we actually didn't do anything hardly after that. When Joey went to Rome, who's my brother, for all the new listeners out there, he did day trips to Florence and... what's the one with the boats?
Venice.
And, of course, Naples and Pompeii.
Firenze.
And we did not do any of that. I did go to the Vatican, which is really cool. The Vatican Museums.
Mm-hmm. The country, kind of.
I did, yeah. I climbed to the top of St. Peter's Basilica.
Really?
Yeah, which my family's Catholic. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know
my
that.
My dad did not raise us Catholic, but my dad was raised Catholic, and all my dad's side of the family is Catholic.
Hmm.
So
you're allowed there.
I felt some connection to my roots a little bit.
That's cool.
And so there's this big dome, St. Peter's Basilica, and like the top of it, there's like this little cage that you can like look out on. That was that one video that you saw that I posted.
Yes.
That was like from the top where you could see the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
540 steps, and I did all of them. You can take an elevator halfway, and then you have to do about like 300 after that, and I was like, no. I went to the top of it, and it was beautiful. Climbed all the steps. It gets really, it was like, I had to go like this. Like, it was like really,
really narrow.
Really
like
narrow.
Tight.
Yeah, I crouched down for our audio listeners. And then I went home by myself. He stayed in Europe.
There you go.
And I went home by myself. I watched Mad Max Fury Road on the plane.
Never seen it.
It was really good.
I heard. I mean, it was nominated for
Better than I thought it was going to be. And then I watched Furiosa right after, which, in comparison, I think back-to-back, Furiosa, not as good. I think Furiosa is probably better if you don't watch them back-to-back.
Yeah.
But I think Mad Max was so good. Then I watched Furiosa, and I was like, that was okay. That was kind of mid.
So, obviously, you've lived in the United States your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any like big difference you noticed between life in the United States compared to life in Europe for
I think the obvious is the transportation modes.
Yeah.
So cars are like we are. Thanks, Henry Ford. Thanks a lot.
Shout out.
Thanks a lot, General Motors. There's so much reliance on cars in the United States, and I think this is a larger discussion, but I think that has to do with, I think the United States is too big. This is my opinion on that. It's like,
give us land. We want more.
Yeah, it's like this manifest destiny, which...
While you're on it, give us Canada.
Yeah, well, maybe not.
As a joke for the other listeners only, it's being sarcastic.
So I just think the United States is too big, and I think that our reliance on cars due to our capitalist society and the lobbying of the automotive industries, especially in Detroit, which has particularly bad public transportation because of the huge automotive presence. I'm not even joking.
No, yeah, I know.
That is a real thing.
Learn about it in school. Shout out Urban Planning 101.
So being able to maneuver from place to place in a really easy way, like, I will say the Amsterdam public transportation, awesome. It was so good. So on time. It was amazing. It was like a rail that I took most places, a tram kind of thing.
Like a light rail.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And
there's one thing I've noticed about even just living in Philly on the East Coast is the transportation. I mean, I feel like
Walkable cities,
mm-hmm. bikeable cities.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah. I do too. I think that was probably the biggest culture thing. I don't think there was a... I mean, the Italians were just kind of like... Sorry.
You heard it here first.
They just had like a different level of aloofness to them that I was like, I'm
You're
from
like,
the Midwest.
These people are bad.
So, no, I just think that the Midwest has like such a crazy level of hospitality and like... Everything is so old there. Everything is so old in Europe, like so much older than
like
I think
thousands of years
that I think it's so much older than Americans can even fathom,
right?
How much, because the oldest thing here is in like Plymouth Rock, like 1600s.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean, like 16, like maybe a couple hundred,
I guess,
years
like
old.
Yeah,
besides the Native Americans, obviously.
Right, like Mesa Verde,
but
or like some other things like that.
Yeah, I mean there's landforms obviously that are older,
right,
but like
right,
their
right.
structure. So like I'm like in this building and the elevator is just like, it feels like it was from like the 30s. Like, it's crazy how
right.
old this elevator was, and it's just never been updated because their infrastructure just like is so tightly knit. Everything is so small and tight there that you like can't even begin to start changing really old infrastructure because of how compact
right.
and small and tight everything is, that it's like, you can't, of course you can't change this elevator out. It would like, you can't even get up these hallways. City layout, I think something I take for granted in Michigan is that everything is like in straight lines, especially, I think this is less applicable to older states, like things on the East Coast that were more based on older paths or whatever, but
sure.
states that were like, that had infrastructure in mind when they were developed. Like, I think about Michigan's counties.
Yeah.
They're like all perfect
like
squares. And you go somewhere like Pennsylvania, like that's not gonna happen. It's just all like really, like they look gerrymandered, but they're not.
Right, right.
So I take for granted that. So the winding roads and just how everything is there.
Yeah.
That was a huge difference.
Nice.
Yeah, I think those were big things that I noticed.
Yeah, I gotta get to Europe at some point.
It was awesome.
I mean, I've been there before when I was really young, but I need to go back.
The next place I
want to
go? Ireland. Really,
yeah,
really,
sure.
really want to go to Ireland.
For sure.
I think Irish people are awesome.
That
that's also my ancestral homeland.
There you go.
Right there.
It'll fit right in.
It will be. I need to learn
They'll welcome you with open arms.
I need to learn how to do an Irish accent. It's one accent you can do.
I feel like I can kind of do it.
You used to do it.
See.
Well, you used to be able to do like a Scottish one and an Irish one.
Yeah, I feel like that's the only way I can do it. I have to start with the Scottish one. And then
migrate.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to do it on this podcast.
Okay.
Impressions are in. Okay. Well, give me a phrase to say or something. Or like a thing to...
I'd love a Guinness beer. Jerry... Jerry, I love a Guinness. Jerry, I'm bold.
Yeah, I love a Guinness beer. That's my Bob Dylan impression. I'm working on it still.
We can do an extended bit of Bob Dylan and George Costanza.
Bob Dylan.
George,
you need a Guinness.
Bob. Bob, I'm bold. Bobby, I'm bolding.
Bobby. Yeah. Give me a Guinness. Nope, that's bad.
What was that? Who was that?
I don't
that?
Know who it was supposed to be.
Who
I
was that?
I was trying to get there to the Scottish, okay. But it was messy.
Scottish? It's like...
It's in the back of your throat.
Oh, that was...
It's like...
I don't think you hit it on the last word.
No, it's in... Nah. We'll work on it.
We will.
We'll probably might cut this out.
Movie review. All right. I didn't watch the holdovers.
Oh, all right.
And you didn't watch Anora.
I didn't watch Anora. So I'll give a brief. Yeah, we'll do that. I do want to shout out holdovers, though. It was really good.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it with my roommates. One of them fell asleep.
Oh.
But the other one watched it with me and really liked it.
Okay.
Great holiday movie. Really feel good. Paul Giamatti was awesome.
Dominic Sessa.
Sessa was
Angus
super
Tully.
Good. Angus Tully.
That's his name in the
movie. Oh, right. How do you know?
I don't know. I see it on Twitter.
And then,
I see it on Twitter.
Divine Joy Randolph was really awesome, too.
She won the Academy Award for that.
Yeah, for real. Well-deserved. Yeah, really good. Feel like I will watch that movie. It can be a holiday classic.
Yeah, our tradition.
Yeah, definitely.
I recently rewatched... Did you ever watch Santa Claus is Coming to Town? Like, the stop-motion... animation.
I feel like I've seen it before, but it wasn't like
they were a Christmas classic in my house. They were so good. It's a movie that explains why Santa is like what Santa's got a lot of weird niche details, you know what I mean? And this like seeks to explain the niche details of Santa. Like, why do his reindeer fly? What's up with the red suit? Why does he have a white beard? And you know what? Why is his name Santa Claus? And also Kris Kringle. And why does he come down the chimney? And his wife is so beautiful. And Mrs. Claus,
right,
is a beautiful woman named Jessica.
So I was recently watched
Jessica Claus.
Shout out Jess. I recently just watched a movie similar to that origin story of Santa and Christmas a little bit. It's Klaus.
Yes, I saw that you reviewed this on Letterboxd.
I really liked it.
You said it was good.
Kind of a similar...
Where it's like, why does Santa exist kind of a thing.
Story.
Yeah.
But really well done, I thought. Yeah. Really
a complete unknown.
It also could be a holiday favorite for me. Oh, before we get to complete unknown, I feel like I want to rank some Christmas or holiday movies. Mm. Or at least go through some.
Number one?
And think, say, what's
one,
overrated or underrated.
A Christmas Story.
Okay.
The best.
This is where we're gonna have some.
No.
I think the Christmas Story might be one of the most overrated Christmas
that
movies.
That, I think, is like
time.
The worst thing you've probably ever said to me in your life.
I do not like it that much.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. It doesn't do it for me.
Why?
It's just, I don't know. It's slow moving, I think. Yeah, sure, there's some classic parts.
It's so.
There's some classic quotes, but it's just.
When the teacher is like fake, he's like having this imaginary fantasy of him like her reading his essay. She's like, F, and then she picks, like that audio engineering.
Yep.
She picks up his essay and she's like, oh, and she's like reading it line by line and she's going through it and she's like, then she's like, oh, it's just so.
I don't know why
it's
just
so
doesn't
good.
Do it for me.
Come on,
I'm just not entertained really.
Okay. What else? National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? Still funny.
Good. Holds up, I think.
Holds up, for sure.
Chevy Chase is funny. Apparently he's all really not nice guy.
No.
I also just watched
endorsing.
Saturday Night.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
I liked it a lot. Speaking of Chevy Chase, I just watched Fletch. Which is like an old... It's kind of like a... It's almost... It's not a spoof movie, but it kind of is a spoof movie. It's like a funny kind of cop. Like, he's a detective, or he's a journalist. He's a journalist trying to get the scoop. And he's, like, always wearing these different disguises, and it's really... It was actually really funny. I'd say the first half of it was definitely funnier than the second half. There was kind of a lull in the second half while they're, like, actually doing plot points. But, like, when it's just Chevy Chase riffing, he...
He is a funny guy.
He was incredible. Just...
He is...
He, like, goes into this fancy groom. He goes to this...
Comedic genius?
He goes to, like, this rich guy. Well, I don't know...
We're not endorsing.
He goes into this room and he says, like, oh, I love your garage. Like, I can't, it's just really funny. It was really good. I don't know. That didn't make sense in the context of what I said. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation holds up.
Holds up. I like, I'm a big fan.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in it, and she does a great job.
Yes, her part is so funny.
Very funny.
And two of my favorites, Home Alone and Home Alone 2. I really like those.
I really like Home Alone 1. Home Alone 2, I don't really love it. Don't love it.
Fair.
It's okay.
Fair. Home Alone 1 is, I think, objectively better.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
It's very quotable. Well, I think my main gripe with that.
Here you go, Mr. McAllister. Your very own cheese pizza.
That is funny.
Or two scoops, make it three. I'm not driving.
He's like, would you like a tip? And it's a piece of gum.
Exactly.
And I think my main gripe with Home Alone 2 is that when ABC Family would play 25 Days of Christmas.
ABC Family, now Freeform for the young listeners out there.
Whatever.
Institution, another institution fallen.
They would only ever play Home Alone 2. They would never play Home Alone 1, which I think always pissed me off.
That is kind of annoying. Home Alone 1, like I said, I think objectively.
And so I would always get pissed off. I would be like, God, it's Home Alone 2 again?
Jim Curry in it too? Really funny?
I forgot Tim Curry is in it. I love Tim Curry, one of my favorite actors.
He's really funny.
Well, I think that's because I have a personal, what is it called? Love for Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm.
I think that is one of the best acting performances is Tim Curry in Rocky Horror Picture Show. I think it's so impressive that he is like a full straight man and was able to do that with such convincing authority.
Yeah.
Fully embodies.
Main character,
yes,
right?
He plays Dr. Frankenfurter, Rocky.
Right.
Rocky
oh,
is the...
Right.
You ever seen it?
Yes, only the movie once.
Okay.
A long time ago.
The bodybuilder, that's Rocky. He builds Rocky. I'm not sure why it's called Rocky Horror.
Afraid.
I'm not really. I don't really know.
Other Christmas movies or holiday movies?
Ones I don't like so much. The Santa Claus, not so good.
I don't mind it.
I don't like it that much. I think it's okay.
It's fine. I agree. It's fine.
Well, I think that the sequels made it worse. I think that the first one...
Martin Short and the third one? Not that good.
Is he Jack Frost?
Yeah. Honestly, love Martin Short. Not my favorite.
What's another Christmas movie? I think Frosty the Snowman. But the third one where she's doing magic. And it's the snow.
I don't know if I've seen it like once, but...
The snow?
Yeah.
The magic one.
Charlie Brown Christmas. Classic.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah, it's classic.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Very good.
It's good.
Bad moral lesson for kids. We'll get made fun of unless you're useful to other people. You're a freak unless you actually serve a purpose.
Yeah.
And then we won't make fun of you anymore.
We're canceling
Rudolph
out 2025.
Rudolph out.
Rudolph 2025. Out. Actually, no, not Rudolph because you can't. It's just got a red nose. Santa.
Yeah, Santa's canceled.
Santa. He's not coming to town.
No.
Next year. Honestly, like I said, the holdovers might be a new
Christmas classic
for me.
For sure.
Same with Klaus. Really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Both Jim Carrey and the animated 1960 version.
Both excellent.
Or maybe it's 80, 1980. I don't know.
That's one of my
both
favorite movies.
Great. They're so good.
Jim Carrey, what a guy.
He's so funny.
He did it excellently.
Okay, but now let's get to our movie review of this episode. I feel like that was not my best Bob Dylan.
We can work on that. That could be a continued bit.
In my head, I feel like that was almost Jerry Seinfeld-esque.
That was a little, but
we're working on it.
I think that you need to like shorten the syllable length, or like, yeah, it's a little more quick, it's a little more quiet.
That's true.
Yeah, you know what I mean. He's more like. That's the thing about you, Joan. I just keep saying that line. You know, I don't think he says that in the movie. I think Timothée Chalamet did a great job.
I agree.
For if you don't know Bob Dylan, it almost looks like he's like doing a bad caricature of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just really how he. Like,
I agree.
I think he nailed it. Like I think that's exactly. I don't really know. I'm not a huge Bob Dylan person. I don't know.
Did you listen to him much before you watched the movie?
Girl from North Country has always been a song I've liked,
yeah.
But that's, I think, the only Bob Dylan song I really have in my rotation is Girl from North Country.
That one I've listened to a decent amount, same with, like, the other, like, Blowing in the Wind and,
He didn't want to play that one.
He did not want to play that one.
No.
Spoilers for the... Actually, no. You might even know that.
He didn't want to play with John.
And what is... The Times Are Changing. I knew that
I know that one.
I actually have one of his first record that he released on vinyl.
Okay. One that was all covers?
It was mainly all covers except for two songs.
Oh.
Which the one, the Woody Guthrie song, he sings the Woody Guthrie, that's on there. Definitely familiar with him.
Okay.
But not the biggest listener.
No, I wasn't.
But
I think he did a great job.
Change.
I will say, I think one critique, I think there could have been less...
There's a lot of singing. But I guess it was a Bob Dylan movie.
True, but sometimes I wish there was a little more meat to it, which I think we discussed.
Yeah.
A little more...
Spoiler-free review.
Background.
A little more
like meat there. But I think the stellar cast performances.
Ed Norton, awesome.
Excellent. Elle Fanning really did a great job.
The person who played Jeremiah Monica Barbaro.
Yes, that's her name. How did you know that?
I just looked at the Letterboxd casts.
The guy who played Bobby Newers, I think, was really good.
Yeah. Have you seen Daisy Jones and the Six?
No, but is he in that?
He's in that.
I had never seen it. He was really good. I really liked him.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. Everyone did a great... The guy who played Johnny Cash, I think.
Johnny Cash,
killed
yeah.
it. I think he really looked like him.
Mm-hmm. I think he had the voice.
He
voice
sounded
really
like
too.
Him, which they all sang and all learned the guitar and all.
Yeah, super cool.
So I went to see it with my dad, and my dad was really interested. My dad didn't think he was like, that kid's not going to learn how to play guitar.
Right, but he did.
He was like, he only had 6 months to do that. And I was like, no, I think he like prepped for this movie for
a couple years,
yeah. And they were playing guitar.
Super cool.
It was really good.
Yeah, definitely would recommend.
Mm-hmm. 8 out of 10.
The impression where we're cutting that. I can't. I'm struggling with the. We'll workshop it.
I think it's better if you hold a cigarette, like a fake cigarette in your hand.
Yeah,
you're like,
I put my audio listeners only. I'm putting sunglasses on.
We both have
shoulders.
Brought pairs of sunglasses to do Bob Dylan impressions. And you have to look like you're like a little cold, you know? You gotta.
Hands in the pockets.
You gotta. Yeah. they're always trying to make me in some box.
If you label me, you negate me, man.
Hey, man. I'm just trying to live.
Just trying to live.
That's the thing about you, Joan. I can't figure out a cadence of words.
Times are changing.
I'm going electric.
Bob Dylan.
Okay. That was pretty good. Maybe we wrap this up?
Oh, two more things
Okay.
I want to talk about. Audio listeners only, not sure when this will release, but right now it is between Christmas and New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And Claudia just had her birthday yesterday.
I did have my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
How old are you now? You want to tell everyone?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't like that
she's
number.
Born in 1991, so she's getting up there.
I turned 24.
We can cut that.
No, it's fine. It feels really, really old and weird, and I don't like it. I feel like my hip's gonna pop out and my knees are gonna crack.
I hurt my back so bad somehow recently, and I'm like, this should not be the case.
Every year, like I felt like 22 to 23 was crazy. You know what I mean? That felt like
right.
I'm getting old, but I think 23 to 24 is like even worse.
25 is right around the corner.
I feel like 25 will be fine. Now that I'm 24, I feel like 25 will be fine. Like
okay.
It won't be that much. Look, I think being 20 is so fresh in my memory that to like be 24 feels crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
for
that
sure.
feels like such a departure that has gone
like
too
a quarter
far.
Of your life.
Yeah, it's been I'm quarter life crisis.
I feel like
I
maybe
incoming.
So if you don't you probably know this if you're listening, but I moved to Philadelphia
mm-hmm.
a couple months ago and I was thinking like, man, I'm almost 24
mm-hmm.
and like was that a quarter life crisis just like moving? Maybe
could've
I don't
been.
Think so, but if it was it's okay.
Yeah, I don't know what my quarter life crisis will be yet.
Mm.
I got really into pottery for a while, but it's too expensive.
Crisis.
I couldn't
podcast.
Keep that. Podcast. Maybe this is our quarter life crisis. It's starting a podcast.
Possibly. And then we're having a party tonight. We're celebrating.
Yes. Euchre party.
Euchre party.
You guys are all invited.
Audio listeners only.
You're invited. Just
you're
kidding.
You're invited. And if you don't know what Euchre is, you're not a true fan.
Nope. And then you're not.
But if you do want to learn, comment down below.
We'll teach
we'll,
you. We can do an episode explaining the rules.
Yeah, for real. And then the last thing, what was it? Oh, the Apple Music Wrapped is what I want to... Or the Spotify.
I think the Apple Music... Okay, we're two Apple Music users.
Yes.
In a world of Spotify.
Yes.
In a Spotify-controlled world.
Toughest day of the year, Spotify Wrap comes out.
I don't think that this year I felt... Everyone hated the Spotify Wrap this year.
True.
They didn't get their top genres. They didn't get their top albums, which
we did.
Got.
Thank you.
I was very...
Thank you, Apple.
Thank you, Apple.
Sponsor
very
us.
Happy about it. I just... thought it was pretty good. I wish that their graphics were more interesting.
Yeah.
It's like the same kind of glossy, kind of sterile. I wish it was some fun, some pizzazz kind of stuff. I don't know. I didn't listen to a lot of music this year. I mean, I did. but not as much as I have in the past.
I'm also curious, so it came out earlier in December, so obviously all the music you listen to in December is not included.
Mm-hmm.
So does that get included in next year's?
I think if you re-click on it, it updates.
It refreshes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I feel like mine might change.
Probably shouldn't eat ice while I'm audio recording. It's probably not ideal.
What were your top artists?
My top artist was Remy Wolf.
Big year for her.
Big year for Remy Wolf. I went and saw her in concert, which was amazing. Top artists were Remy Wolf, Mac DeMarco, which I'm a diehard. I'll always love Mac DeMarco. He doesn't really perform anymore live, which sucks. He did one live show this year in LA.
Did you see him when he was performing?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I was too young to really be going to those kinds of things.
Sure.
Steely Dan, number 3.
Nice.
The Lemon Twigs.
Controversial.
Lemon Twigs.
Nice.
Really good band. Really love them.
Lemon Twigs.
And Maggie Rogers, of course.
I'm going to pull mine up. I
top songs?
Say, yeah, go for it.
Toro, Remy Wolf. Cinderella, number 2, Remy Wolf. Number 3,
yeah.
Shot Put, Still Woozy. Really
good. Oh, great song. I really like Still Woozy.
Number 4, How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You, the James Taylor cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 5, 1 Million Lovers by the Growlers, which is really
nice.
Good song.
Growlers are a good pull, for sure. I'm trying to think. Top albums, go over real quick.
Big Ideas, Remy Wolf, of course.
Yep.
Number 2, embarrassingly, I don't know. This is like very, it's kind of women, not women centric. Short and Sweet, Sabrina Carpenter.
That's a good album.
Shouldn't say it's embarrassing,
but sometimes
when an album comes out, I will just like listen to it over and over again to like fully absorb it, and then I don't do that all the time, so then when that does happen, it'll be like the big albums that came out that year will be my top albums because I tried to, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I gave them a lot of
time.
I don't know. I don't know if that makes
sense.
A Dream Is All We Know by the Lemon Twigs, number 3.
Yep.
Hit Me Hard and Soft, Billie Eilish, which was pretty good. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. I won't say anything else. I don't want her
right.
stands.
Yeah, she's a listener, probably.
Yeah, she probably is.
So.
Number 5, Charmed by Clara.
Oh, nice.
Excellent
yep.
work. Excellent work.
Great. Yeah, let's see. My top 5 artists were Fleet Foxes.
Of
if
course.
You're a listener, you know me, no surprise there.
Nope.
I think it's the
pretty,
fourth year in a row.
Pretty easy, yes.
Which I thought it was going to be different this year, but
it
was not.
Was
then,
it close?
Not particularly.
No, not even close.
And then my second most is Krungbin. They just released a new album this year,
mm-hmm.
Alasala, which is really good. And followed by Fleetwood Mac. Every person in my family had Fleetwood Mac in my top 5, which is cool.
Fun fact, after you and Ellie played...
And Mackenzie.
Yes, sorry, I don't remember. I'm known over as well. I'm sorry, Mackenzie, if you're listening. I just don't know you quite as well. I grew up with Ellie.
Right, right.
We were good friends all through elementary school and high school. I haven't kept up mostly since college, but I love seeing her. She's
mm-hmm.
great. She's a beautiful lady, beautiful singer. Probably part of the soul of Hastings at this point. You know what I mean? Like,
I would agree.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's
she really,
a,
like...
a good descriptor.
...is part of the soul. I don't think she's not the... There's so much to Hastings. It's a really dynamic, interesting place. But she's definitely, like, such a critical part of this community that I think that you can't think of Hastings and not think of, like, Elle Young's playing her guitar on stage somewhere.
And you mean that in the highest compliment
yes,
possible.
100%, yeah. After you and Ellie played I Don't Want to Know by Fleetwood Mac, I listened to that song probably like 20 times in a row.
That was a good one.
Like, it was so... I'd never really heard that one off that album, and so it was like hearing it for the first time, basically. I definitely had heard it before, but it was great. I loved
it. Yeah,
it
was awesome. Then, so that was number 3, Fleetwood Mac. 4, My Morning Jacket. I saw them in concert this year at Frederick Meyer Gardens with my mom.
Yeah.
And my roommates... and his mom, and it was really fun and really good.
Okay.
And then number 5 is Men I Trust. I was on a huge Men I Trust kick this summer.
Okay. I remember you saying something about it at one point.
Yeah. Top songs, Fear OGT by Men I Trust.
Okay.
Gold Dust Woman by Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
Probably my favorite Fleetwood Mac song.
Okay.
August 10 by Krungbin. Not off their new album, but still good. Ode to the Mets by The Strokes. Oh man, I don't know why I listened to that song so much in the beginning of the new year, 2024.
Okay.
And then Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac. Oh, I feel like that's changed. And then top albums were Charm, Claro,
okay.
number 1.
Very good.
Dream Songs by Jogo Saishi.
Okay, sure.
Just instrumental, Studio Ghibli scores.
Okay.
And then Rumors by Fleetwood Mac, one of the best albums of all time, probably.
Yep.
Tight Knit by Vetiver, which is really surprising to me.
Okay.
Great sound, older album.
Sure.
And then Crack Up by Fleet Foxes,
okay.
which used to be one of my least favorite albums by them, and now it's maybe my favorite.
Wow.
Crazy how those things turn around.
It does. And your top genres?
Oh, top genres. Alternative, indie rock. Rock. Like alt alternative? I'm not sure what the difference there is.
I don't know what
is.
That means, yeah.
And pop.
Mine were alternative, pop, rock, pop rock. So pop as a separate category, rock as a separate category, and then pop rock as a separate category, and then soft rock.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think, is there anyone who didn't make your top five? Were you surprised?
Ryan Beatty, for sure. I saw Ryan Beatty in concert this year.
Yeah, I remember seeing
him.
He
was incredible. I think everybody should listen to him. I think he's gonna blow up. He wrote on Beyonce's album. He got
really?
Songwriting credits for it. And so because of that, I think he was nominated for a Grammy. I think his work will be reflected on very highly much later, either later in his life or after he dies. I think there's gonna be some...
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we're going to look back on that and be like, why wasn't everyone going crazy over this songwriting, this production? His voice is incredible. He has such an ability to create a mood, I think, from a song, using really simple lyrics.
Yeah.
Like something.
I haven't listened to him very much, but I should, for sure.
He has a line that's like, chewing licorice. No. Chewing licorice in your cowboy blues, which I think is like one of my favorite lines all time. Chewing licorice in your cowboy blues.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's just saying good words,
stuff.
But it's just this complete picture of the feeling. He has a really good idea of how to create this really melancholic, I don't know, it's really
energy.
Good.
Yeah.
He's the best. I think
super cool.
It's my Ryan Beatty. Ryan Beatty, if you're listening.
Yeah. Well, he's listening. Probably.
He is probably listening. Or if like you're his manager.
Oh, yeah.
He books tours.
Book us? We'll open.
I would love to interview him. On the
oh,
podcast.
Yeah, we'd love to do that.
Get him on the podcast. I would love to talk about his songwriting process. I have a theory that two of his songs are related, and I'd like to ask him whether similar motifs.
Is there Reddit for that?
I could go find that. I actually was on Ryan Beatty Reddit trying to find out when people were lining up for the concert.
Yeah.
Reddit's in this year.
For real.
Reddit's always in. Reddit's timeless. Everyone needs to be on Reddit.
I thought McGee was going to be higher for me. Do you know McGee?
I've heard of him. He's big this year, I heard, though I didn't listen to him.
Yeah, I've been a huge fan.
You know who else was big
top
this year?
Top
10
for me, but not.
Guys that were big this year that I haven't ever listened to. MJ Lenderman.
Yes, I'm going to a concert.
McGee.
Awesome.
Like, who are these guys?
Almost went to a concert.
These are all, like, the same guys to me. Blade?
Yes.
Those are all equal.
I just posted Blade on my story the other day.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that all those guys are just, like...
Different. Blade's definitely a different sound, I feel like.
Than the other two?
The other two.
Okay.
Blade's more like, man, if you're a Blade's manager, you're Blade and I...
We can get him on the podcast.
We'll get you on the pod, for sure.
Okay.
But I feel like... I hope I'm not misrepresenting what his music is, but I feel like it's almost, like, hyperpop-esque.
Oh, you used to be really anti-hyperpop.
I mean... Everyone, there's a place for everything.
Okay.
Right? But...
I remember I played some Charlie XCX for you back in, like, 2021.
I would not consider Charlie hyperpop.
Really?
I'm thinking, like, 100 Gex.
Okay. I think Charlie has some hyperpop albums.
For sure, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Pop 2? Come
I
on.
Feel like...
How I'm Feeling Now? How I'm Feeling Now is definitely, like, hyperpop.
Okay.
Like,
I feel like... Well, Blade just collabed with Charlie on her most recent, like, Brat rework.
It's not Blade D.
It?
It's not Blade D.
I'm pretty sure it's Blade.
Okay.
Blade, if you're listening, correct me if you're...
Blah.
Or if you're listening,
Blah
you know,
Day.
Comment on
Blah. Like Sade, Blah Day.
Rat Summer, and then transition to McGee, MJ, Letterman, Blade,
Age Gap
Fall.
Autumn.
Age Gap Autumn.
Yeah, Age Gap Autumn's in.
Nice.
Age Gaps are in.
All right.
I don't know if you knew.
And now it's winter, so...
Now it's... We'll come back to that.
We'll come back.
We'll tell you after we finish winter what the winter was.
Yeah. Alright, well, let's wrap up this podcast. Oh, yeah, see, I'm mixing in the...
Jerry
Seinfeld there. Let's quick say thank you to our sponsors. And
sponsors of today's were... Actually, our sponsors today were Staygrounds Coffee House.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a coffee shop that closes at 2 p.m., we got the best one in town right here. We got Drip Coffee there. It was excellent. The second sponsor of today is Richie's Coffee Shop with a K. If you're looking for a restaurant that has not been updated since 1982 and still vaguely smells of cigarettes and fried foods...
And hair in your food
that only takes cash, please come down to Richie's Coffee Shop in Hastings, Michigan. Their burgers actually are excellent. Their breakfast is just okay.
breakfast is just okay.
They actually do have some of my favorite fries of all time.
I don't think I've ever had their fries.
They're really good. They're really unique. They've got that like flaky texture.
Yeah. And if you want to be a sponsor, comment down below.
Let us know. I know Full Moon Saloon's in our DMs. Full Moon Saloon's in our DMs. That was a good way. Circular. Round that out.
Yes. Perfect.
Opened and closed.
Opened and closed. There you
cold
go.
Cold close.
Cold close. That's the...
It's a cold close. You just end it in the middle of a sentence.
That's the static line.
And that is the static line.
Right. Thanks for everyone who made this happen.
Yeah, we've been
Happy
here.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. By the time you're listening to this, hopefully we have worked out the kinks.
Yep.
We'll have an official name.
Yep.
We will maybe have some music.
Oh.
Did we hear some music?
Yes. Well, I'll give him a quick shout out right now. Thomas Griffith, thank you for... Music.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas.
We'll see ya on the
next one.
Static line. See ya.